It's good to be here. Good to be sharing with y'all. But you know what? Fine and Dusty, they did that song, man, about all that Yahweh is. You know what? It came to me that I thought that when God created Eve and Adam looked at me, he probably said, Yahweh. And he said, and God said, I'll receive that. You know? Oh boy. You guys are so generous laughing at anything I say. We're going to be talking about the weak and the strong. It's a little different this morning for me. It's not so much verse by verse. It's just reflection on Scripture and people in the Scripture. And God has a very much different view of you and me than we think of each other. A very different view of us than we think of each other. You know, he was at the temple one time and he saw a man just put just a almost like a penny. And they saw a man that had means just putting a lot. And he pointed out that, you know, that person with that little penny, I can see his heart. And he gave everything he had. Jesus one time was walking through the dusty trails and a military man came riding up and said, my servant is sick. But you know what? You just say the word and it'll be well. People saw him as a leader in the Roman army. God saw in him faith. And he said, I haven't seen that in all of Israel. Paul was amazingly educated. He went to the best schools and learned it all. And with great zeal, he was trying to persecute Christians. But God opened his eyes to who he was, and he had to learn through the journey not to depend on all he learned, but to depend on his relationship with Jesus Christ. And he said, you know, it's in weakness that I really find strength. So God views things differently than we might view things. He looks at people differently than what we might look at people. And we have an assembly people just in all different areas of growth and relationship in this room. And yet, he looks deeply into who you are in relationship to him. So, Father God, as we go through this journey, Holy Spirit, just enlighten us and reveal to us who we are in your eyes. In Jesus' name, amen. I love the sharing time. Wasn't it amazing this morning? You know, one of the things I prayed earlier in the 8:30 to 9:30 was that God would awaken our world. Because every one of you have, you know, we don't have the same friends. We don't have the same relationships. We're not in the same place. We have somebody all the way from China. They have a group over there. And a lot of times, our little world really doesn't intersect with each other. But yet, I prayed that God would use you in your world. Use you in your world. You know, sometimes we get focused on the big picture. Oh, God, work in the nations of the world. But, you know, how about him working in your world? It's a very real world, and And God has you placed in the center of that world. So, in saying that, we're gonna look at four people. Four people, and we're kind of going to look at them, at who they were, and who God saw them. And we're going to start with, I thought about this, time was running out, and I'm going to get through this really quickly, but I thought about, man, I would need several Sundays, really, to do this subject justice. But we have this one, and we have a short period of time, and we'll get it done, all right? So, Joseph is the first one. Joseph lived on the planet Earth 110 years. And he was born a little child, and he grew into his teenage years, really to go in conflict with his brothers and even his father, because God had put in Joseph dreams and visions. And he really didn't know completely what it was all about, but he was getting his dreams and visions, and he was declaring these dreams and visions to his brother and his family, and it was getting him kind of a little bit of trouble. It was getting him a little bit of trouble. He really wasn't really being accepted in all that God was doing in his heart, and where his journey was going to lead him. I wrote son to teen to slave to prison to prince. That was what God was laying out to him. Going from a son to a teen to a slave to a prisoner to becoming prince of Egypt. And along that journey, it was a hard journey. It was a hard journey. In very young, in his teenage years, some of my people say around 15 years old, he was sold into slavery, cut off from his family, and lived as a slave in Potiphar's home. And Joseph was given this dream as a young teen, and he was waiting for the fulfillment of it. And I'm sure along that journey, he probably questioned what was going on in my life. How come everything, all the dots aren't and all the T's are not crossing? It's just not going like I planned. But yet he could look back and say, I had that dream. I had that vision. And he thought he was on the way out. When he interpreted the dreams of the prisoners, he thought for sure that was his way out. But you know, he had to wait years before that would happen. He had to sit there and wait for that dream and that vision to be completed. Now, something else, I'm going to be brief through some of these guys, but what really impressed me about Joseph, as Prince of Egypt, as a plan to save a whole nation, he was also saving the nation of Israel. And he brought provision for the people when the people were in a hard time of famine. Resources at a real low. So when he saw his brothers, it says in the scripture that he couldn't get to, he had to leave his brothers, and he wept and he cried. And he wept and he cried because he said, man, it's them, they're here. I can start seeing the completion of my vision. And I think, why was he crying so much? And I think part of it could have been he was crying because he was seeing the fulfillment of his dreams. And then something interesting happened that when the news came to Jacob and get him back home and all that, and now we're at a season in his life when his father was going to pass away. know what's interesting what he says there? This is after he was reconnected with his family. After he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. After all that was said and done, his father had something to share with him before he died. You know what that was? He sent a message to Joseph, and he said, Joseph, Joseph, to have the completeness of what God is doing in your life, I want you to do one last thing for me before I die. Forgive your brothers. Forgive your brothers. And that will open up everything to you. So Joseph, not only did he know his brothers meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And it's good to have that connection with God. But Joseph came to a place where he couldn't give forgiveness lip service. He had to give it faith service. And he forgave his brothers. The next guy, oh, and by the way, a little sideline, in the process of this request, Jacob also said, hey, Joseph, remember, you're going to have your own land. And that prophetically happened, and it's prophetically happened in our generation because Israel is back in the land for the last time before the coming of Jesus. The next one is Moses. Moses, quite the character. He lived to be 120 years old. He lived a little longer than Joseph. He lived 120 years. And it was an amazing thing about Moses, that guy was a strong 120 years old. And God came to him, and you know the story, and we're going to pick it up at the burning bush, where he was telling Moses, he said, I've got a job for you, man. I got a job for you, because I've heard, and I've seen, and I know what the children of Israel are going through in Egypt. And I've heard their cries, and you're the man. I'm going to send you back there to deliver my people from bondage. And Moses says, you know, I think you got the wrong man. You know, I'm slow to speech. I'm not the guy you're looking for. He says, yeah, you are the guy I'm looking for. Because you are also a son. And you became a prince. Then you became a shepherd. And now you're going to shepherd my people. Now you're going to shepherd my people. So just get your sandals back on, because they're off, and head off to Egypt land and just take my lead to bring the people out of bondage. I wrote this down because it's very interesting. I love the testimonies because some of them kind of intertwined with the message here. You know, that we can just, like Cal was mentioned, you just speak out. Just speak it out. Deliverance, help, provision, get it out of your mouth. Speak it out. And yet, that very thing was the thing that tripped up Moses, because the children of Israel needed some water and stuff like that. And God said, hey, Moses, you go to that rock and just speak it out. But he learned dependence on the wrong thing. He thought there was something special about the staff, when it was God all along. You know what? We have to be careful of our journey, that we don't substitute him for something else. So, then quickly, doing good, Byron. I know I can talk for 40 minutes, but I know I can talk quick too and fast. All right. So the third guy is amazing because he's Saul. Now he's one that when looking at him from a human point of view, Israel said, you know, we want a king. We want to be like the other nations. We want a king. Give us a king. And they were really persistent about that. So they handpicked one. You know, they handpicked one, some tall, handsome man, dude. You know, this guy was something else. And they picked him out, and they said, you know what? This guy has so much charisma. He's so amazingly good-looking. He's got to be the guy that's going to be our king. So God sent Samuel and said, all right, we're going to do it this way. We're going to do it this way. We'll pick him up. So Samuel found Saul, anointed him as king, but with a warning. You want a king? You want somebody to rule over your life rather than me? I want to let you know it's going to be a hard road. It's going to be a hard road. Because when you took me out of the picture and are depending on a man to lead you, it's going to be a hard road. And you know, Saul meant well. He to his own ability, he probably tried to pursue God. But you know, he's a picture of somebody in working and trying to live for God in own self-effort. And it was messing with him. By the way, he died in a battle at 67 years old. He didn't make 110 like Joseph. He didn't make 120 like Moses. He was killed in battle at 67. But in his journey as kingship, he ran in connection with this young man called David. And he thought that he could see there was something special about David. So he sort of had David hang around. He had David play music for him, singing songs for him. And then he started listening to the people. Saul started listening to the people. And that raised out of him the real Saul. He heard Saul has killed his thousands, David his 10,000s. And when if you look at scripture, when he heard that, he became the person that, you know, he had this pseudo looking like following God, and now you find out he's out to kill David, he's out to destroy him, he's out to discredit him. And he was on a journey in a bad direction because his life was totally governed by his flesh, not by the God Almighty. And what's interesting, I wrote a note here, what's really interesting about God's perspective on this, God's perspective on Saul, now you got to carefully look through his life, and you'll see God's perspective. He gave him chance after chance after chance to do the right thing. And every time, he took a little, make a little tweak to what God said. It's important that we know of a God, even though if we've gone off the right track, to come reeling back in and start listening to what he's saying to our life. That's all. Now we come to the last one, David. You guess what? He lived to be 70 years old. I've outlived David already. So, you know, kind of, man, Saul 67, David 70, I'm over 70, somewhere over that, you know. So it's But David, this man after God's own heart, God gave him 70 years on the planet Earth. What about David? David was he grew up to leadership to become the king of Israel, a man after God's own heart. But yet, David was not 100% recognized by the people closest to him. In fact, when Samuel came, the Lord told Samuel, now you go find a king, and he's coming from this family over here. And he comes to that family, and he looks at all David's brothers and stuff like this, and oh, surely this is the guy. Oh, man, hey, this guy, he almost stands taller than Saul. I mean, and then David's out there in the field with the sheep. And Samuel, having God's heart and having God's word of wisdom and knowledge, says, wait a minute, do you have another son? Oh, yeah, that's David. He's out there. Bring him to me. In man's view, he wasn't king material. In God's view, he was king material. He was king material. And he anoints David with oil, and then David starts his journey to become king. And in that journey, he heard that King Saul was in a cave all by himself. And his guys said to him, hey, David, it's your opportunity. Your opportunity. You could take him out and become king. But he did go into the cave. And he cut a piece of Saul's garment. And I can picture, I laugh every time I think about this. David was on top of the hill going like, hey, Saul, looky here. Come on, looky here. I could have took your life, but I didn't. Why should I touch God's anointed one? And David was not perfect. David was not perfect. He was an adulterer and a murderer. But you know what? Even though as bad as what he did, that didn't mark who God thought he was. See, those around him said, David, shame. How could you do that? How could you commit adultery? How could you have one of your loyal people killed in the battlefield? David, how could you do this? That was man's view of David. God's view, because he looked deep in, said, he's a man after my own heart. He's a man after my own heart. In closing, you can get that up, get ready, the song. I would like to challenge all of us here this morning. Are you a Joseph? Are you a Joseph? Joseph? Have you gone hard? You've gone hard times. Have you not seen the fullness of your vision completed in your life? Are you in that journey and you don't see the ending and where it's going? Are you there? Are you that person that you're waiting to hear and see God fulfill what he has for you in your life? I want to let you know something. God is not finished with you. As long as it took Joseph to get to become a prince, God is not finished with you. God began something in your life, and you may not see it in full completion yet, but he's not finished with you. Or maybe you're a Moses, and you focus on your negative part of your life. I could never be a person. I can never do that. I'm never able. I don't think God would ever use me. Maybe you're like Moses this morning. And you think of yourself as a disqualified person. Maybe through circumstances or something that's going through your life, you have disqualified yourself, but God has qualified you. God's not finished with you yet. God is pursuing after you. Maybe we could be a Saul in this room. Where maybe in the business world or somewhere else, you were pushed in a position that you really didn't want to be there. But you're there nevertheless. And maybe you've messed up. Maybe you've messed up. But I want to let you know, if you've been put somewhere where you're uncomfortable, where you don't feel like you should or be there, or maybe you were brought there because men and women put you in that position, and you're trying to figure it all up, and you're messing things up, God is always full of second chances. Always. And God can bring a David along your side. And please recognize when a David comes and grow in who you are. Then there's David. Maybe you're a David. Maybe you're a David. Maybe you're never validated as a young person. You never had that validation that who you are and what you are. And maybe you're not perfect, but God's looking at your heart. He, as he was with David, he's focused on your heart and who you are. And you can be the man or woman. You can be the man or woman after God's own heart. You see, all of us have come in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we have different views of ourselves. Other people have different views of who we are. But I want you all to think carefully and develop that intimate relationship, who you are and who God is in relationship to you. I want to assure you, God has never given up on any person in this room. God wants to come alongside of every person in this room. And he wants to validate you. He wants to build you up. He wants to show you who you are. He wants to show the real you. And it doesn't matter what other people say or think. It's a matter of you knowing who you are. And knowing the God that loves you completely and fully and will never, ever, ever leave you. You know, as I was building this whole thing up, and we got it done quick in a half an hour, isn't that cool? But I could probably talk a lot longer on this, but I was listening to my Sirius FM. You know how you listen to Sirius FM? Sirius. No. Saturday, they were talking to Lauren Daigle all day long, and they said she wrote a new song, and I was listening to it carefully, and I said, that song really matches up with this message for you. So, worship team, I want you guys up there, because I think after we hear the song, just maybe lead us in another worship song. But I want you to carefully look at this, what this young lady wrote, and it's so relevant for the body of Christ, and even for what you just heard this morning. Okay? God bless you.
I keep fighting voices in my mind.